Good morning, everyone. In today's gospel, we have another story in the Bread of Life discourse. In last Sunday's readings, Reverend Colin Ambrose talked about the miracle, or the sign, in John's gospel of Jesus feeding 5,000 people with just 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. That scene occurred outdoors with both the disciples and a huge crowd following Jesus. Everyone had come to see the miracle worker, but they were hungry. Jesus attended to their human needs by doing the impossible, feeding 5,000 people with just a few meager bits of food. This is an important story, as it is the only one of Jesus' miracles that actually occurs in all 4 Gospels. But today, the story is different. We're going to be talking again about bread, but it's a different type of bread. Every 3 years in year B, which is the year we're in now of the lectionary, we have 5 consecutive Sundays that are taken from the 6th chapter of John. They are known as the Bread of Life discourse, and they all use the metaphor of bread to refer to Jesus as the way to eternal life. As Christians, of course, in the 21st century like we are, we immediately make the connection that bread and the Holy Eucharist is how we celebrate every Sunday morning and what it means to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. But let's hear this gospel a little differently, as if we were living in the first century when Jesus was alive. As part of the crowd, we've clamored to see Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And now we're looking for him. If you remember, he went to the mountain to be by himself, and then we kind of lost track of him. So we finally catch up with him, but where is he? Well, he's teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. So the second story actually occurs in a place of Jewish worship, where the Jews have come to honor God. They address Jesus as rabbi or teacher, and it wouldn't be unusual that visiting rabbis would be asked to speak during their service. So a little bit more about this time that's early in Jesus' ministry. Throughout the Gospels, we detail the life of the ministry of Jesus, and we see that it's really the Jews that Jesus has been preaching and teaching to in the synagogues. We hear particularly in the Gospel of John that many of these scenes occur when the Jews have gone to Jerusalem to celebrate traditional Jewish feasts, like the Passover, the Festival of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the Booths, and the Feast of Dedications. So here, in the Gospel of John in particular, adherence to Jewish teaching was very important during Jesus' time, and Jesus participated in all of those traditions. It won't be until Jesus' death that we actually read about Christians forming their own church in house churches and worshiping there, which is, you know, from the book of Acts is where we'll see that. So again, this is while Jesus is still alive, early in his ministry. So it wouldn't be unusual when he's in the synagogue, there would be Jews that would believe in him, and then there were some Jews that were not believers. So he wasn't just speaking to his followers all the time, but he was evangelizing. Those might have been curious people. Some were curious about the words, some were curious about the healings, others were curious about the changes that they saw in their fellow Jews once they had believed in Jesus. So the overarching story in John's gospel is that Jesus came into the world to perform these signs. Seeing these signs is what causes us to believe in him as the Messiah, and that belief will lead to eternal life. John's gospel is often referred to as the spiritual gospel due to the intensity of the message of the person of Christ and the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. As Augustine of Hippo said in the early 5th century, John spoke about the Lord's divinity in a way that no one else has ever done. This is what Jesus is trying to communicate in his testimony in the synagogue. So in today's story, we do see that the Jews have vivid memories of their ancestors, the Israelites, in the wilderness. We heard it both in the Psalm and in the Old Testament reading from Exodus. And the Jews are really hanging on to those memories. memories of what they were taught as young men when they were required to study the Torah. So as I mentioned in their reading from Exodus, the Israelites were kind of complaining that they had plenty to eat when they were in bondage in Egypt. But now that they're in the wilderness with God, they accuse God of starving them to death. But God heard their complaining and provided meat in the evening and bread in the morning. God spoke to Moses to explain the purpose, though. He said, "You will eat your fill of bread, but that is so that you will recognize God." Back in the 13th century before Christ, when Exodus would have been occurring, God provided the Israelites with food, and of course, he didn't let them die. So they asked Jesus here in the synagogue in our story today, "What sign are you going to give us?" In other words, when are you going to give us more food like Moses did? But in their challenge to Jesus, they know that it is really about not just food. They ask Jesus, "What must we do to do the works that God requires of us?" They believe Jesus is a teacher or a prophet, but they are still missing the point. They ask for another sign. So Jesus steps in to clarify that, well, in your memory, Moses really wasn't the one that provided you with the manna. It was my Father that gave you the true bread from heaven, and that gives life to the world. Of course, Jesus is then talking about himself. He is the one who has come into the world. He declares that he is the true bread, the bread of life. Whoever believes in him will never go hungry or thirsty. But again, Jesus chastises them. They have seen him up close. They've seen him or heard about the miracles. They've seen him in the flesh, and still they do not believe. So when Jesus walked the earth, though, what is he asking? When he says, "You do not believe in me," what does that mean to a first century Jewish person that has come to the synagogue and heard Jesus preach? Well, he was asking them to proclaim that he was divine, that he's the Son of God, and that he is the Messiah, that is the one that fulfills all the prophecies from the Hebrew Bible. Jesus asked that we believe that he is part of God's plan to save all of humanity, and that he would someday usher in a new heaven and would be the judge of all. In our story, the people acknowledge Jesus as a rabbi and teacher, but still turn a deaf ear to his claims of being the Messiah. And we read in this story for the first time, it's actually verse 33 in our gospel, that Jesus has come not to just save the Jewish people, and again, he's in the synagogue preaching, but instead it says Jesus brings life to the entire world. So what can we learn from the story in John's gospel that might apply to us today? As we have seen, it is when the crowd and the Jews and the disciples get stuck in their own expectations that causes them to stumble. The crowd is hung up on literal food, waiting for more literal manna. Food's important. Without food and water, of course, as humans, we couldn't exist. But when I think about it, I spend a lot of time planning meals, buying food, preparing food, or even joining friends for dinner out. I wonder what changes would occur in my life if I spent as much time receiving the bread of heaven to feed my soul. My meal planning, of course, is temporary. It only feeds my body in this lifetime. But spending more time dwelling in the bread of life leads to eternal life. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul even writes, "And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in the glory of Jesus Christ." In the book Walk in Love, Episcopal Beliefs and Practices, Scott Gunn says that prayer, belief, and life itself are inextricably intertwined. Right belief helps our prayers and our lives. Daily prayer actually shapes our beliefs and guides our lives. A sacrificial, loving life feeds our prayer time and transforms our faith from passive to active. We have only to believe in Jesus to have every need satisfied. The irony is that when we reject Jesus, we're rejecting life and continuing to seek after perishable things, even though it's precisely that destruction that we are trying to escape. Nevertheless, the Gospel of John is also clear that to believe, to eat and drink fully, is a daring and divinely aided gift. Jesus asked the people in the synagogue, "I am the bread of life. You have seen me. And why do you still not believe?" It's the same question that Jesus asks us today. Where have I seen Jesus in my life? And do I believe in him? Christ shows that he is the true bread. He is to the soul what bread is to the body, nourishing and supporting our spiritual life. This is the bread which the Father gives, which he has made to be the food of our souls. Belief in Jesus is all that is required for us to have eternal life. In a few minutes, we'll be affirming our beliefs by reciting the Nicene Creed. This is when we have a chance every week to publicly declare, we agree, we believe. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.